thank you for sharing that. And we do hope indeed that we have a great response this year. One reminder, as those of you who are here can see, we have communion today. So you should have gotten a little set of communion elements on your way in. And I remind people at home to have whatever elements you will be using available when we get to that time in the service. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. In the 8th chapter, he says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who had the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we will wait for it with patience." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke. And Jesus is speaking to those gathered around him. "At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, 'Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the requested sermon topics this summer kind of broadly was about bad things happening to good people. How can it be justified? And a number of secondary questions came along with the request. And it led me to go back and remember a conversation I'd had in the youth room of a church I was serving about 25 years ago. And it's going to be the basis of this sermon. It's fairly accurate, but it's been 25 years, so I'm sure that it's gotten a little bit embellished in my memory. But one summer day, as I was eating my lunch on the couch in what served as the youth room, parlor, and choir room in the small church I was serving, in walked Suzanne, a 17-year-old member of our youth group. Usually she was outgoing, warm, with a sharp mind, ready smile, and a caring heart. "Hi," she said more quietly than normal. "I saw your car. I needed to talk about some things, about Eric," she said. Eric had gone to the same high school that she had, was a senior, and 1 week prior had been his funeral because a drunk driver had run into his car, killing him and injuring another passenger. "This is the first time somebody I really knew has died," she said. "I heard people say things at Eric's funeral and at the funeral home that bothered me, things about God and death and why bad things happen." "Well, what things did you hear?" I prompted. Let me say, the funeral was at another church. I had no need to feel defensive when she raised these questions. "Well, it started at the funeral home. They kept saying Eric's death was for the best because God makes things work out for the best always. Do you believe that? I said, not the way that they said it. And she said, others said that God was with the boy in the hospital keeping him from dying. But wasn't God with Eric too? Why him and not the other? Do you think we all have a time to go and this was Eric's time? But if God saved the others and not Eric, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Suzanne, let me try things step by step. First, there may be times when God is ready for us to die, but I don't think God is up there sitting in heaven, pulling a number out of a hat to see who goes this day. And I do believe that some people die by accident or by not taking care of themselves, or sometimes because of somebody else's bad actions, like driving drunk. Because this world is not perfected yet. The Bible clearly says, Paul says, creation groans, waiting for when the time of decay will be gone and all is completed and perfected, which is why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Things aren't finished here yet. And I'll bet that some people quoted the Bible to you and said, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, right? Yes. Well, the thing is, Susan, and this did happen. I started quoting Greek to her. The Greek of the original words means more like in all things God works for good. And her eyes glazed over a bit like my daughters did when I would do that at home. So I quickly moved on from Greek word studies. It doesn't say that God makes all things happen, even things that are bad to us, but that God works to make sure some good comes from the worst situations. Now, God could make all we do fit God's purpose, but God also gives us free will within arenas of our lives and asks that we take responsibility. And I don't believe in a God that made that other driver drink too much and hit Eric's car. Well, that makes more sense than what I heard. But why one person saved and not Eric? Didn't God have the power to save Eric, or didn't God want to? That's a harder question, and I don't have a definite answer. But here's something I've worked out, although not everyone might phrase it this way. To me, the evidence is that God can do anything, but there are times that God limits his actions in our lives. At that point, a large hello greeted the entry of Kay Patterson into the room. And she was a loyal church member who liked to have her finger in everything. And her husband, Jerry, was in tow. He was quieter than she was. He usually let Kay do all the church talk stuff. And I knew a sermon was okay when Jerry's eyes stayed open on Sundays. Am I interrupting anything? Kay, we were talking about Eric's death and funeral. How terrible that was, said Kay. Well, we can't understand things like this, and we just have to accept it. Come on, Jerry, help me get the supplies for the church picnic. Suzanne leaned toward me and said quietly, I heard that a lot too. Just accept it, but why can't I have questions? Actually, I said, God is big enough to take our questions and our complaints. Just read some of the Psalms, read the Book of Lamentations. And if we can't ask God questions, where else can we go? Well, another thing, Reverend Bill, people said Eric's sin was part of this, and that makes me sick to my stomach. Eric was good. Does God punish us for our sins that way? Well, I don't think so, Suzanne. Often sins are their own punishment in this life, even before any action on God's part. And God often does let people face consequences of their sin, but I can't see God liquoring up a man to get him to drive into Eric's car just to punish Eric for whatever faults Eric had. The big sinner here was the drunk driver. In fact, Jesus once commented, I said, that you can't assume that people who died in accidents like a building collapse or were killed by a bad person like Pilate was in those days, you can't assume that they were worse sinners than others in the area. Now, Kay worked her way back to our part of the room, and because her ears had been perking up, she added her part to the conversation. We can't know all of God's whys and wherefore. If it's the will of God, then that's that. And if it had been just Kay in the room, I would have let that slide. But for Suzanne's sake, I wanted to say something. How can we be sure it was the will of God, Kay? Why would God do things we would put a person in jail for? And that's where the driver is right now. If he was doing the will of God, shouldn't we release him? Jerry stirred and his eyes began to glimmer of, I'm listening, look. Now, Suzanne went on, the funeral preacher said it was God's will, but Reverend Bill, you've always said God is love, and I couldn't love a God who'd do that to Eric. Now, you said earlier something about God limiting himself. What do you mean? Well, I see it like this, Suzanne. God made us in God's likeness, so we too can think and learn as best as possible to make responsible choices. To do that, we must have some freedom to do right and wrong. I think God limits God's self by not making us puppets. If we choose good, God is pleased. If we choose evil, God may wonder at times if this freedom thing was everything it was going to be cracked up to be, but God still wants to forgive and give us a chance. The person responsible for Eric's death seems to be the driver who drinks too much and then drove. And Eric paid a price for that man's choice, and now that man will pay a price for his choice. Well, how can you be sure that's the way God thinks? Where do you get these ideas? And Kay's hands were on her hips as she said this. Well, in what I have to think was a sign of the Holy Spirit moving, Kay's question was answered by a hitherto silent corner from the Bible, said Jerry with quiet firmness. Remember the lesson a few weeks ago, the story of the wheat and the weeds? The farmer sowed wheat, someone else sowed the weeds. If God is the farmer, then the weeds must come from somewhere else. Bad things, bad people do not come from God. They're weeds. But God tries to save the wheat anyway. Thanks, Suzanne said. I feel better about God. I know God wouldn't have just decided to kill Eric. And she paused. Jerry had nothing to add. So since preachers have this inborn need to fill a pause, I said, remember, Suzanne, we get the best idea of who God is by looking at Jesus. The way Jesus relates to us is the way God relates to us. They are one. So let me ask you, how many people did Jesus make sick or hurt or kill? Well, none, of course, said Kay, determined not to be left out of the conversation. So, Suzanne figured, if Jesus is a picture of God, we can see that God is out to help us, not hurt us. That makes a big difference. And I said, because there was another pause to fill, if people in Jesus' day were sick because of God's will, then wouldn't Jesus be going against God's will when he healed people? Which means that the Trinity is schizophrenic. Jerry had been edging closer throughout the conversation, and Kay looked at him. What do you think of all of this? In a tone that said she thought she knew what his answer should be. Slowly, Jerry said, I agree that God is love. The boy's death was the result of a bad man, not the result of God. I think God cried when Eric died, and I think God is very patient with some of the foolishness we people say. Jerry, grab these bags, I'm done here. We're going now. And the conversation ended. Amen.